Informing and educating voters, we bring you In the Public Interest here on 89.1 WEMU. This is Lisa Berry, and as part of our biweekly conversation with the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area, our guest is Terry Wilkerson, who advocates on behalf of the League against the Line 5 pipeline. So why don't you begin by explaining exactly what is the Line 5 pipeline?
So Line 5 is a 645-mile shortcut through Michigan. It starts in Canada, and it goes back to Canada at Sarnia. It crosses over 400 waterways with the 4.5-mile stretch underneath the Straits of Mackinac being one of the most critical parts.
And you're here advocating on behalf of the League. We want to clarify that, right?
That is true. And I also want to clarify that while the League never takes a position with candidates, never endorses a particular candidate, after much study, the League will take a position on an issue. And we have studied this thoroughly and are thoroughly convinced that it's not in Michigan's best interest to have Line 5 operating.
Let's start at the beginning. The Line 5 pipeline is 66 years old?
That's correct. It was built in 1953.
And what was it like at that time when it was built? Were people okay with it?
Some people were. I mean, there were ship captains that immediately realized that it was not a really good place to put the pipeline because an anchor drag has always been a concern from day one. And it was more of a theoretical threat until last April when an anchor drag did actually snag two nearby electrical lines. And those two electrical lines were broken completely. And three dings were put into Line 5, spilled about 600 gallons of oil that was within those electrical lines. We were very lucky that there were only three dents put into this aging pipeline, but it's a very real and present danger. And again, there's 22.5 million gallons of product that goes through Line 5 each day, so that could be quite a huge spill.
Who or what could potentially be endangered by this?
Everyone who depends on the Great Lakes for the water, which is, you know, everyone in Michigan, $6 billion tourist economy, the animals, the plants, etc. But even in a small case, it could be three counties that are impacted, and Mackinac Island is toast in pretty much any scenario. And that is per Dave Schwab, who is a expert on the Great Lakes. He actually did a study where he did 840 different scenarios of what ifs. If there were a spill, what would happen? If there were a little spill, if there were a big spill, and there's been a fair amount of focus on a big spill, because a big spill could impact up to 720 miles of coastline. But even a small spill could impact three counties and Mackinac Island. So, for example, when the break happened in Kalamazoo in 2010, 35 miles of the Kalamazoo River were closed for 2 years. Can you imagine not using Mackinac Island for 2 years? I mean, just the thought of that really is upsetting. When that break occurred, it took them over 24 hours to shut down the pipeline, and it resulted in a spill that was over 1 million gallons. So Enbridge has a track record of having the two largest inland oil spills in the United States.
Terry Wilkerson is advocating on behalf of the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area, taking a position against the Line 5 pipeline built 66 years ago. And you use the verbiage that the threat is huge. Can you tell us a little bit why you say that?
There is the $6 billion tourist economy that we're talking about. So that means, you know, lots of jobs and so forth. Also, the fact that you can't really clean up an oil spill in this area so well is a huge factor. The Coast Guard estimates that the best case scenario of cleaning up oil in the Straits of Mackinac is 30% recovery rate. And that 30% recovery rate assumes ideal conditions. In other words, all the machinery is in place, that there's no frozen water because you can't do it when it's icy, and actually winter is when it's most likely to happen. And also that there are no waves greater than 3 feet, so that you have minimal wave action, and that it's daylight. So that's a lot of what ifs.
The League is advocating for a complete shutdown, correct?
That is correct. The League is advocating for a complete shutdown of Line 5.
Also, you use verbiage that Line 5 is a ticking time bomb and a huge threat.
It's not aging well. It's 66 years old. It's dented. It's losing its protective coating. It's bent. These are all things that are verified.
Do you think there are any benefits to Line 5 in Michigan? Enbridge touts a multi-million dollar impact, the creation of jobs, and of course, transporting fuel to areas that need it.
You know, I'm not going to dispute numbers because I don't know all their numbers. But what is your water worth? I mean, that is really the very first question that we should be asking. And the second question is, how much does Michigan really benefit from Line 5? To hear some of what is out there, you would think that our UP neighbors would freeze without Line 5 because of the propane that comes from Line 5. But the truth of the matter is that we use less than 0.25% of what's carried in Line 5 to provide propane to our UP neighbors.
So you don't like Line 5. Is there an alternate source you're recommending?
Since we only use 0.25%, I don't think we need it at all. If Enbridge wants to find alternative ways to move the product, they have capacity in their other lines.
I know the league advocates for a lot of different water issues other than Line 5. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's true. We do take positions on other issues and other water issues. For example, we are studying PFAS right now because that is a really big thing for Michigan and the rest of the country. Michigan is on the forefront of that because we've been looking at it first, but you're going to hear about it coming up throughout the United States.
I know you like to use an analogy of Niagara Falls. Maybe that will help people better understand the impact of Line 5 and what could go wrong.
So to understand why Line 5 is so important in the Straits, I think you need to understand the context of the water. So have you ever been to Niagara Falls?
Yes.
Okay, so you have a picture of the volume of water coming over, lots of water, very fast. So there is 10 times that volume in the Straits of Mackinac, and it reverses direction every few days. So if you can kind of try to imagine the Niagara Falls going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards times 10, that's what you've got going through the Straits of Mackinac. And so that is why it is the worst place in the Great Lakes to have an oil spill, because it would be tossed about every which way.
And then what can people do? If people are listening to this and they're like, I've heard about it, I've seen it, but I didn't really know what the potential problems were, how can they get involved?
It's really important that people do get involved by calling their state representatives, their House representatives, and their state senators, because we have a voice with our votes. And so if our politicians know that we really care about the water in our Great Lakes, that's going to influence how they vote. And we do not want a tunnel. We do not want Line 5 at all. A tunnel would just be a 4.5-mile Band-Aid on a 645-mile problem.
Because that's what's next. That's what they're talking about now.
Right. And so even if you put a tunnel in, there are over 400 waterways in Michigan that Line 5 crosses. It doesn't do anything for those other waterways. And there's about 50 miles along US 2 where Line 5 runs very close to the coastline. It is a ticking time bomb in many places. The Straits of Mackinac is where we have been focusing in the past. The way that I think about this at its core is that we invest so much in Pure Michigan. It's our way of life. It's how we think about ourselves. We put our stickers on our cars that show our Great Lakes, Pure Michigan. We repeat that again and again. In a heartbeat, that Pure Michigan could become Putrid Michigan with an oil spill in the Straits of Mackinac.
Terry Wilkerson with the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area comes with lots of links and pictures and documentation to back up her claims, and we will include those in the web post for this segment at WEMU.org. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.